Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I know I've said that so many times, but I am hoping that it be real food for you. If you think of something that I should say or you'd like me to say or whatever, don't hesitate to write or to email. That would be the best way. But please let me know, because I want your soul to be fed. And certainly in this Christmas season, I want you to enter into Christ's life in a new way, a deeper way, a daily way, because he loves you. And I want you to draw as close to him as you can. The entrance, the antiphon for today says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. All of you who listen to this program, I want you to have eternal life. Draw closer to him. Ponder his word. You know, this word is not like any other word. I know I've said this to you before, but I want to say it again, I guess is the best way to. I want it to be graven on your heart that he gave his only Son for you, that you may have eternal life. Think that. God wants that. Where all our sorrow will turn into joy, all our fear will turn into peace, all our anger would dissolve. Let me see him. But for now, let's try as we draw closer to God. And I've mentioned this to you before, but I want to say it again. Even though this is the octave of Christmas, I want to say, choose one area, just one area. It'll take a while. Choose one area where you think, I'm not following this Lord who gave his life for me. He became a baby for me. He grew here in this world for me. Help me to know that. Help me to say, Lord, help me to follow in your footsteps. It's hard sometimes, but if you can take even one area, as I've said to you before, take one area that you know needs to change in your life, and really begin to work on that. And if it takes you a year, stick to it. But change opens the door to God being more and more a part of your life. And that's what we want, don't we? Let's take a look here at the fifth day in the octave of the Nativity of Christ. St. John chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. Beloved, the way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we may know that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard, and yet I do write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you. For the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. That doesn't just mean your biological brother, but other men in your life. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Brothers and sisters, seek to forgive. Seek to forgive. That opens your heart so much more to the grace of Christ. Let's pray about that. Keep that in mind. And you say, well, so-and-so did that or so-and-so, but what was your part? What was your part? Ask forgiveness if you had a part in turning away from God or turning away from people. Psalm 96 tells us, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. The Lord made the heavens, splendor and majesty go before him. Praise and grandeur are in his sanctuary. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us draw near to him. Listen to the gospel today, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Pay attention to this. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Brothers and sisters, take that gospel and read it again, and then read it a third time. Believe me, we are so loved by God. He so wants to draw us close to him. Please open your heart. Please give God the time that belongs to him. Father B. Jarrett said this in the 1930s. He was a Dominican priest from England, and he wrote, a pierced heart, a merciful heart. As though they could not conceive of any more beautiful idea in which to sum up the work of God's maiden mother, the early Christians in one case represented her by the side of the Good Shepherd, feeding with her hands a crowd of fluttering birds. She too has the high and sacred office that comes to those who the more nearly approach to Christ, of succoring the distressed. We too hail her among various titles that so proclaim her kindly privilege. She is Our Lady of Perpetual Help, above all, the Mother of Mercy. You think about this time in her life, what it must have been like. Think of that. She had nowhere to go. She and Jesus walk. They try to get some place where they could be peaceful or at least be able to deliver a child. Can you imagine that night? They just must have cried out to Jesus so much for help. Unless, of course, they're much holier than I am and they didn't. They just said, thank you, Lord, we trust you. Whatever they did, brothers and sisters, we need to follow. But Mary has an understanding of all distress. We speak of her as the Queen of Martyrs, the Mother of Sorrows, because we regard her as having touched the depths of all human anguish. The whole progress of her life was a progress in suffering from the moment of the birth of her son through the early anxieties that the massacre of the innocents entailed. The words of Simeon, the losing of the child, and his seemingly upbraiding words about his father's business, the shadow of the cross during all the 30 years of intimacy, the leave-taking, the plotting of the Pharisees, the detailed pains of those last days, and the terrors of his agony and death and burial have marked out her burden as above the burdens that have fallen to the lot of the children of Adam. No one can then approach her without feeling that she will understand their own woe. And if she understands, as none other can, will she not also desire to help, as none other can, since she is the mother of him who was all love? If his saints are distinguished by love, caught from the fire of his heart, certainly she more than all others must have in her nature the wide sympathy of Christ, the sympathy and also the will to aid, the love of God, which has worked great deeds of pity since the world began, cannot exist in her without effect. The kindness she saw for 30 years on earth cannot have left her outlook on life untouched. Mother of sorrow, she is also the mother of the pitiful heart. Turn to her, brothers and sisters. Turn to her. Not merely does she sympathize with sorrow, but she is filled with longing to ease and allay it. The consoler, we say, of the afflicted. Finally, she not only understands and desires to help, but she has far more than any other the power to show that in the fullest way. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.